Well, what a blessing. Amen. And the Flanagans, like I said, mean so much to me as a kid growing up, and just to have the opportunity to hear him and hear him sing, and Miss Nelda, and to learn all their songs. I'm like that preacher, Brother Flanagan. You want to come? I'll just sing the songs, and I know just a few of them, maybe one or two. You want to hear a couple of them? No, I'm just kidding. But I could sing. I just can't play the guitar. So you forget how to play it. I couldn't play it at all. So I had my son come and play it for me. But our family right now is learning Your Walk Talk, so we're going to sing that one. And anyway, what a blessing. If you would, in your Bibles this morning, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Another thing I like about the Flanagans, or really the greatest thing I like about the Flanagans, is their faithfulness. Faithfulness to the Lord. And that they're genuine. I like to hang around people that are genuine. Not putting on any airs, just who they are, you know. And they are a fine Christian couple. And what a great testimony they've had over the years. And again, I can't say enough about them. What a blessing. And boy, Brother Flanagan, you ended on the song right of what I'm going to preach. So the Lord had a hand in that. 2 Timothy chapter 1, look at verse 5 with me. It says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee to remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by putting out of my hands. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." Let's pray. Lord, we thank You today for Your love. And Lord, we thank You that we've been given some great examples of the Christian faith. Lord, help us to be faithful to pass that on to the next generation. In Jesus' name, amen. Here we see Timothy, that Paul is writing to this young preacher. So get in your mind now, this is Paul the Apostle, writing a letter to a young preacher, encouraging him, strengthening him in the faith. And here he just recalls and remembers of the faith of Timothy and where that faith came from. So again, Timothy is a product of Paul's ministry. Again, it's more like a father writing to a son. And again, as Paul is writing to him, he remembers the faith of Timothy's grandmother and Timothy's mother. We think about their Lois and Eunice. He speaks of their faith. Now, the word faith has many, we have many definitions, and we've used many different definitions. Faith means a restful reliance upon that to which or to whom credit is given. It means belief to the degree in which it's acted upon. We use the chair as faith. I believe that chair will hold me. And faith means I'll jump up on top of it. Everybody with me? And I could do that this morning. We would all see that. And even though I had a good supper last night, I believe that chair would still hold me. And by faith, I believe that. And by faith, some of you believe that as well. And so we think of faith. But this is not just faith. We're not talking about faith in a chair, that a chair can hold you up. We're talking about faith in a person. And that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. And His life and His death and resurrection. A faith in a person. Confident expectation. We have faith in the second coming, or that Christ will soon return. Confident. And hope and know that it's going to happen. Faith. And so he speaks of Lois and Eunice's faith, and that faith that was passed on from them to young Timothy. We speak of a mother and a grandmother's faith. On Mother's Day, again, encouraging our mothers here today, and those who will be mothers, and those who have been mothers are now grandparents. Be reminded, as Brother Flanagan just saying, that our country needs mothers and grandmothers of faith. Not faith in the house, not faith in a job, not faith in a social standing, not faith, but faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in a person. It's been said that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world, and that's absolutely true. Absolutely true. We think about all the time that our children spend in other places. And whether it's daycare or public school or wherever they're spending time at, You know, it's vitally important who spends the most time with your children. Who spends the most time with your kids? Because whoever's spending the most time with them is the one who is molding them. We say from the pulpit all the time that love is spelt T-I-M-E, and that's exactly true. Love is spelt T-I-M-E. And those who are spending the most time with your children and the most time with your grandchildren are the ones who are molding them. We think about, again, this word unfeigned faith. Unfeigned faith. This means that their faith was not a false faith. Not a pretend faith or a fictitious faith. Was not a fraudulent faith, but a genuine faith in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, I'm glad today we have a church full of mothers and grandmothers who I believe have this faith. And of course, fathers who have this kind of faith, real faith. Faith, again, based upon the finished work of Jesus Christ. Faith in a person. Faith in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I always like to point this out, that faith is based on a fact. We're not talking about some make-believe fairy tale. And I'm really taken back today by what's going to be happening in this next election. We already see it happening. I hate to bring politics in. I'm just going to bring it in for a second, and then we're going to get out of it. But we already see many of the news media asking questions of some of our, some of the delegates, some of those who are seeking to be elected, asking them biblical questions. It's funny how that never used to happen. And now, you know, do you believe in creation? Asking them questions like that. Or do you believe in this? Or do you believe in that? Can I tell you? I have faith. I believe in the 6 days literal account of creation. I believe in Genesis chapter 1 through 11 just as much as I believe in the John's gospel. Amen? I believe that. I believe it by faith. But it's not just speculation. We're not talking about something you just step out on and you believe because you believe it. You believe it because it's based upon fact. You say, what fact? The Bible. You say, preacher, you believe the Bible's factual? Absolutely. I believe it from cover to cover, that it's absolute truth. Every bit of it. You say, even some of that, you know, those miracles and stuff, that really couldn't happen, could it, preacher? Absolutely it happened, because the Bible says it happened. It happened. And it happens today. You say, preacher, you even believe those parts where it talks about hell and heaven, and you believe that's all literal, and so, I believe it. In fact, I don't just believe it, I have faith in it. I've acted upon that belief, and I have faith in knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ not only came and lived a sinless life for 33 and a half years, I believe that He did lay down His life, that He put Himself there on the cross, and that He died on the Calvary for me and shed His blood in order that I might have eternal life, in order that my sins might be forgiven. And I believe on the third day He rose from the dead. I believe He rose from the dead. I don't believe that when He went to that grave that He swooned or He passed out. I believe He was cold and stone dead, as we talked about Easter. And that 3 days later He rose again and now sits at the right hand of the throne of God. I believe that is a fact. I don't believe it's my opinion. I don't believe it's some fairy tale. I believe it absolute. I have faith in Jesus Christ and all the works that He has performed and the work He is doing now. Faith. So He was talking about this unfeigned faith that Lois and Eunice had. This real faith, genuine faith. Well, let us consider that this morning, that each of us have genuine faith. Genuine faith. Genuine faith in a person. Faith based upon fact. Secondly, we see Timothy's grandmother and mother's influence in his life. It says there that the faith that was in them first. Look there with me in verse 5 again. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. Where did it dwell first? It dwelt in his mother and his grandmother first. First. As Brother Flanagan sang a moment ago, we need to realize the influence, and we do to a certain degree, the influence we have on the next generation. As fathers and mothers, it is our responsibility to train up a child in the way he should go according to the Bible, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 26, verse 6. It's our job. It is our responsibility to train up our children not the school's job, not the daycare's job. And can I tell you, it's not the Sunday school teacher's job. Primarily, it is our job. It is my responsibility to make sure that my kids are trained up. Boy, we must take that responsibility for what it is. Our country today is starving for the good influence of godly parents. If you were to think of a person in the Old Testament whose mother had the greatest influence on him, I believe the story of Moses would fit here. As you think about Moses, we know that the Bible says, and we're not even going to go there, read it, just listen. We think about there in Exodus chapter 1, the Bible says that there arose a Pharaoh who knew not Joseph. And it said that the Hebrews began to multiply. Now, everybody get the picture now. The Jews are in Egypt. They, over a period of 400 years, they've lived in Egypt. And they've gone from being about 70 people to 1 or 2 million people. And they began to multiply. Listen now. They began to multiply. And the Egyptians became afraid that the Jews were going to, you know, rise up and take over. And so Pharaoh made a decree. Pharaoh made a decree and he said that all the male children of the Jews were to be killed. And so he had all the midwives and all of the soldiers to a certain extent trying to again, when the Jewish women had babies, to try to kill them. And so various Jews and people were hiding their children. And we know that Moses' mother hid him. Moses was born and she hid him in an ark, a little basket, placed him in a creek. And just so happened, providence of God, that this creek is the same creek that Pharaoh's daughter took a bath in. And as Moses' sister watched the little ark there in the water and kept track of Moses and took care of the needs of Moses and so forth, apparently, Pharaoh's daughter saw the ark, maybe because Moses cried or whatever the case is, and she went over and saw this little Jewish boy. And what providence of God that the sister was there watching, and the sister came over to Pharaoh's daughter and said, there was a conversation that took place, and it ended up that Moses' mother became Moses' nurse for Pharaoh's daughter. Everybody following me? I'm trying to make this kind of short. That's God, amen? I mean, here it is, Moses' mother thinking she got to give up her son, and she did basically give up her son, and now she's getting the opportunity, or has the opportunity, to raise her son, maybe to the age of 6 or 7 even. We don't know exactly how long, but a small amount of time, and that small window of opportunity for Moses' mother to have an influence on his life when he was small. And in that short period of time, in that short amount of time when he was a baby and when he was a small toddler, she taught him. She trained him. The Bible says that as he grew, Hebrews says that when he became an adult, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He later led the children of Israel out of Egypt. What a mighty man he was. Why? Why? Why would he do that when he had all the riches and all the education and all the pomp and circumstance and all of his physical needs, anything he ever wanted he could have in the palace of Pharaoh? But he said he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Why? Because of a slave woman. Because of a Jewish slave's unfeigned faith. Genuine, real faith. Where did Moses get his faith? From his mother. And no doubt from his dad as well. And where did Moses get his backbone to stand and refuse to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter? From his mother. Where did Moses get the unction to refuse the pleasures of Egypt and all the luxury of it? His mother. I want to really bring home the point that she had him for a very short time. A very short time. Train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they will not depart from it. The mother of Moses did more for the world than all the kings of Egypt ever did and ever had. Boy, what the importance of a good start. And I won't go into the psychology of things, but we do know that from the age of 0 to the age of 6 is the most impressionable time of a child's life. And no doubt, Moses' mother made a great impression upon him. Again, so much more that he refused all the pleasure and all the riches of Pharaoh, and all of that would entail, because of the unfeigned faith of his mother. She passed that faith on. Psalm 78 talks about the history of the Jews and says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline thy ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I utter that sayings of old which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from our children, showing to the generation to come the praise of the Lord and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the children to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and tell them to their children. That what? That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments." The psalmist made it very clear that parents were to take the faith that was given to them and pass it on to the next generation. And then in turn, they're to pass it on to the next generation, and they're to pass it on. And I can't, again, emphasize enough, as we read in the Bible, various illustrations of a mother's influence in those early years. In those early years. Can I remind you the secret of a successful family is a loving father and mother whose faith is unfeigned. As we think about training up our children, we think of passing on our faith, we think of the commandments of God in the New Testament. When He said, "Love God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind." This is the first and great commandment. And the second is likened to it, "Love thy neighbor as thyself." All right? Two commandments that summarize the Old Testament commandments. Love God. Parents, if you are going to influence the next generation, you need to establish in your home an altar and a place for your children to come to love God, to get to know Him and develop a relationship with Him, and to provide that atmosphere and that incubator, if you would, for their faith, that they might have faith in God. Teaching them a love for God. And secondly, a love for others. That they not only love God, but they live out that faith by serving and loving others. I think it even comes down to the little stuff like opening a door for somebody and saying thank you and yes ma'am and no ma'am and just learning how to have just a very selfless spirit. You can pass those things on to your children and your grandchildren. Pass that faith on. Spending time with them. No family illustrations this morning. I'll move on. But my papa and grandma had as much influence, or almost as much influence, on my faith as my parents did. Faith that should be passed on, the love of God and the service of others, of reaching out to others and giving them a cup of cool water in Jesus' name. These are influences that we should have on our children. The school and the world and friends are absolutely in contrast and versus the parents and the church for the most part. Not all friends, but some. Right? You have the world out there and all the things the world has to offer versus the influence that you are going to have as a mom and a dad. And absolutely, you've got to be up for the job. I've got written in my notes that too many parents are lazy. They are. "Well, I worked all day and I'm tired and man, the kids just bothering me." No, they're not. They want your attention. They want your attention. They want some time with mama and daddy. They want to learn about cooking. They want to learn about hunting and fishing. They want to learn about how to mow the yard, even though they don't like it when they get older, right? But you say, "Oh, I can just do it myself, and and do it a lot quicker and easier than they're doing it. Sure you could. But they're not going to learn nothing. Come home and sit before the couch and never do anything with them. Man, just realize the influence you're having on your kids, especially when they're very small. And you continue to have influence, but for those pivotal years. I never forget Caleb. I'm going to embarrass him. I don't remember how old he was. Stand up. No, just kidding. Caleb, our oldest, who's 16 now, very young, would have been six years old, already mowing the yard. Just was. It was. You know what? When I was a kid, when you could reach the second rung on the lawnmower, you know what I'm talking about? You mowed the yard. You know, back then, they didn't have that little thing when you let go that it stopped. You know, it was just, none of y'all can identify with that. You say, well, preacher, I'm saying it was good for me. And it's good for our kids, and to develop that work ethic. Take the time. Grandparents, take the time. Don't be lazy. Eunice, Lois's faith that was passed on to young Timothy. But Mama and Grandmother had it first. Well, let us remember to pass that faith on to our kids. You'll say, preacher, I bring them to church. And that's not the church's job primarily. It's our job to help you. But it's your primary responsibility to make sure that that's passed on. Boy, take that on with confidence. Take that responsibility on with pride. And do your very best through help of the Holy Spirit. It's wonderful for me as a pastor to stand up and preach and look out in the audience and see children whose parents are here and grandparents are here who are still serving the Lord. That's what it's about. And I would just challenge that generation to continue passing it on as is encouraged there in Exodus, what was encouraged in Psalm 78 to pass on the faith. And that faith, again, is a love for God, a love for serving others. By the way, in order to have a love for God, you've got to have faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen, if you're here this morning and you don't realize and understand how important it is to have faith in God, you can have that faith. In fact, some of you who may be here have been here a few weeks and you say, preacher, I understand what you've been preaching the last few weeks and I understand Jesus Christ, that He lived a perfect life and that He died for me and that He shed His blood on Calvary for my sins that they might be forgiven. And I understand and I believe He rose again from the dead, but I just don't have the courage to step out and make that commitment and make that choice. Can I just encourage you to think back possibly of an influence you had when you were a child, or maybe a grandmother or an aunt who may have influenced your life and encouraged you in the faith. The Bible says, there's a place there where it talks about a man said, Lord, increase my faith. Can I tell you that if you're in that situation, maybe you just need to pray, Lord, help my faith. Increase my faith. You know what I believe will happen? He will. He'll give you that courage and that strength. Mama and Daddy, what a great opportunity we have to influence our children. What a great opportunity we have to train them upright, to have a godly influence upon their life, that in turn, you can enjoy your grandchildren as well, because they'll in turn tell their children. For many of you, keep up the good work. But all of us can improve. Train up a child in the way so they should go. When they're older, will not depart. Let's take on that responsibility with pride and courage of training up our children. Mothers, you impact your kids more so than you may ever think. This world needs you in a great way to have the unfeigned faith of Lois and Eunice. So goes the family, so goes the country, so goes the church. Let's take pride in training our children. Not just in math and science and English, but training them in their faith. Amen. Let's all stand.